revelation of truth. He had full control of his senses and mind. Like the super soul, he was kind to every living entity and was the best friend of everyone. To respectable persons, he acted exactly like a menial servant. To the poor, he was like a father. To his equals, he was attached like a sympathetic brother. And he considered his teachers, spiritual masters and older God brothers, to be as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was completely free from unnatural pride that might have arisen from his good education, riches, beauty, aristocracy, and so on. Okay? This is in the context of giving or being good association. So I hope you noted the verse number so you can refer back to it later. But it's really nice. It's really nice. And then the next thing, it was 7:4, 31 to 32, if you didn't note it down. And then I just wanted to touch for a few seconds on Didati Pratigrinati Guyamakyati Prichati Bhumte Bojate Chaiva Shadvidam Priti Lakshanam. I said, suggested, if we were doing a longer thing, you know, like we're leaving tomorrow to Moscow through London. From Moscow tomorrow night, we're going quite deep into Siberia, the Altai Mountains. We have a festival there from the 21st till the 26th, devotee festival, just devotees. In fact, because of the legal situation, we can't allow anyone to attend if they're not devotees. Yeah? Otherwise, it's very illegal. Russia, being Russia. So, but anyway, you know, there's going to be 500 to 700 devotees. And we may do this seminar. If we did, you know, like 4 or 5 days of the seminar, we would get everyone to do these things, offering gifts in charity, accepting gifts, revealing one's mind. Anyway, that's a little more sensitive, inquiring confidentially, but accepting prasad and offering prasad, we would get the devotees to do these things. They'd have to, it would be compulsory, and they would have to report back how it happened. You know, sometimes what we do, it's called Agyata Saka, means the unknown friend, that we give the devotees, each devotee gets a name of a devotee who they must serve without that devotee knowing that it's them serving. Really? Unknown friend, Agyata Saka. It's really good. I've done it before. And my unknown friend left 50 euros under the door, sent a pizza, different things. And I had one. So it's trying to put these types of ideas into effect. In reality, trying to live it. Otherwise, it can tend to be just rather theoretical. And nice ideas, yeah, right, that would be good to do. But we may not do it so much. So I suggested yesterday, why don't you try giving someone a gift? Why don't you try, not just when you're serving prasadam, like during the meals, But why don't you try just giving someone some prasada? Because these are very important building blocks as far as developing relationships are concerned, and loving relationships, not just like business managerial relationships, but actually personal relationships with some depth. So anyway, I left that with you. I'm not going to ask if anyone actually did it, but I hope you did. Let's see, what else do I want to touch on here? I wanted to touch on something. Actually, it's related to Maharaj's class this morning. It's about dealing with juniors. Once you've been a devotee for a while, dealing with seniors, it's not so difficult. If you're, you know, reasonably Krishna conscious, because, you know, you can inquire. It's not so hard to inquire. Render some service, not so difficult usually. But and seniors, usually, they're more kind of broad-minded. They've been through the mill. And, yeah, the school of hard knocks. And they're more sort of flexible and easier going. Unless they like Devasa movie. But the juniors, that's where you find the greatest sensitivity and, you know, the greatest possibility of something going wrong. Yeah, because some of them, they may not have even really decided if they really want to be devotees or not. They're still sort of checking things out. But an interesting point, consider this. You know, we have the nine levels from Shraddha to Prema. I assume you're familiar with those. First of all, Shraddha, Ado Shraddha. First of all, a little faith. Then that faith leads to association with devotees. Then being inspired by the association of devotees, one takes up or sort of commits oneself to devotional service. Then anatta nivritti, getting freed from the unwanted things. And then once you've sort of, to a large degree, got rid of those unwanted things like lust, anger, greed, etc., then you become steady in Krishna consciousness, nishtha, stable. And when you're stable, then you're fixed in Krishna consciousness, and you're always, you know, basically always remembering Krishna and connected with him, then naturally you get a real taste coming, because you're so connected with Krishna. It's almost, it is unavoidable. You just get this taste from Krishna. And then a real attachment to serving Krishna. And then gradually love develops. First bhava, then prema. So, now in regard here, of course, our theme is loving relationships, or in a broader sense, the association of devotees, but most particularly loving relationships, actually. If you've been doing your sadhu sangha nicely, and, you know, like those who are senior, those are on the same level, those who are junior, if you're doing these things nicely and developing relationships, then it means you're successfully executing sadhu sangha, then the natural result of that is a real attraction to devotional service. Yeah. This is how bhajana kriya, or, you know, like committed engagement in devotional service, flows from sadhu sangha. It's not just like the next stage. What's next? Oh, okay. Now we'll engage in regular devotional activities. It's very sequential. Very sequential. As your sadhu sangha develops, your loving relationships develop, then a natural, it's like a real impulse, a natural attraction, and what would you say? Oh, I forget the term, but a natural momentum will develop into regular devotional service and serious devotional service, committed devotional service. But I wanted to touch on one thing here, as I said, in regards to juniors. Dealing with juniors a lot, quite a lot really, involves helping them deal with their problems. We've all been juniors. Some of us may still be. And we may remember having had problems. I remember having had problems. Oh my gosh. I could write a book about it, but I won't because it would be too embarrassing. But, different types of problems. And of course, the natural duty of seniors in regard to juniors, it's parental, it's caring, it's helping. In other words, helping them sort out their problems. It's a big part of it, it really is. So, here's some thoughts on that side of things. Helping juniors deal with their problems. And what Dayananda Maharaj was discussing earlier, particularly the part about forgiveness, is very connected, but particularly I feel, if you know anybody doesn't mind, that this idea of understanding that Krishna is there in the background, and if I've got some problem, you can also just say test, some difficulty I'm confronted with. Part of being a senior, such an important part, is to help the junior see, or at least sort of theoretically accept, that actually Krishna's behind it. And therefore it's not just like some ad hoc, out of the blue, what happened type of situation. It's more sort of strategically oriented than just something happening just spontaneously or whimsically. So a lot of helping juniors sort out their problems involves helping them, for example, well, like I said, to understand Krishna's there in the background, helping them to understand how he's there in the background, what he's doing in the background. He's not just in the background just going, Hari Bol. He's active in the background. And if we accept this idea of testing, then it means Krishna has some specific idea behind why he has put you or allowed you to be put in some particular situation. So therefore, an essential part of this is to help the devotees to understand what is Krishna's idea. What is Krishna looking for from you? Why has he put you in this situation? Or allowed it to happen, which generally means put you in the situation. What is he expecting from you? And what should you now do? And if you do it nicely, how is it going to help you progress in Krishna consciousness? I mean, actually what we're talking about counseling, but Krishna conscious counseling. Yeah. So dealing with juniors basically means we have to become Krishna conscious counselors. which is quite different from being just an ordinary material counselor. I mean, of course, certain elements are there between the two, but this is an interesting one. One devotee, long-time devotee in South Africa, in Durban, her brother was a quote-unquote Christian, very quote-unquote, maybe a few times quote-unquote. He was also quite an enthusiastic drinker, and not of water or fruit juice, but other things. So he was sort of, if you asked him what his religion was, he'd tell you he was a Christian. And he, one night, got really drunk, went out on his motorbike, was screaming down the road like 150 kilometers an hour, wiped himself out. Good night. See you in your next lifetime. And his Christian priest at the funeral, in order, he's kind of counseling in the funeral, the family members, not knowing that they're mainly devotees. And he says, we don't need to worry about X, Y, Z, this chappy. He's with Jesus now. And I thought, my gosh, you know, give me a break, will you? So, counseling in Krishna consciousness, or dealing with juniors, it really involves helping the juniors to see and understand and appreciate and accept Krishna's presence in their lives and the situations they encounter. And in these ways, learning to deal with situations. And to understand, very essential part, Krishna is your friend. Krishna is not malicious. Sometimes some devotees think, with all due respect, Krishna is being malicious. Yeah. Why are you doing this, Krishna? What do you think you're doing? You're meant to help devotees, Krishna. Why are you not helping me? So we have to, so part of this involves helping the devotees to appreciate how Krishna is actually not just putting you in these situations, he's trying to help you by putting you in these situations. Therefore, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj famously said that whenever I see a test coming, I think, here comes Krishna in the form of the test. And so he would just welcome tests. Yeah, please send tests. Anyway, I don't think you need to put in a special request for more tests. Because I think, you know, Krishna knows what he's doing. He'll send us enough. We might sort of overdose on tests. We're not on the level of Queen Kunti, wishing that all those calamities would happen again and again. But when they come, we need to help the younger devotees to become able to deal with them in Krishna consciousness. Okay, and just last thing I'm going to say about getting and giving good association before we go on to the interesting subject of getting and giving bad association and kind of sometimes colorful subject. I want to ask you a question. That if you must get good association, what do you think would be the main quality in the devotee that you might get good association from? What might that, the main quality, first quality you should look for?
Attachment to chanting and hearing the holy name.
What a wonderful suggestion. Quite wrong. Mataji.
Someone who's not judgmental.
Another brilliant suggestion. Thank you so much. And it's there in the list, but it's not the one. Yes.
The ability to see you for who you are.
What another. Even more brilliant suggestion. But sorry, Prabhu.
Practice what they preach.
What a nice suggestion. All these Krishna conscious people. Yes.
Humility.
Another excellent suggestion. We could write a book about this, but it's not exactly right. It's there in the list, of course.
Friendliness.
I'm going to have to put you out of your misery. last one.
Love for Krishna.
Another first class suggestion. Okay, last.
Yeah, I think that they should be honest with us as a Vaishnava.
Of course they should. They should, definitely shouldn't be dishonest.
Well, you know, people just want to be nice with you.
I know, it's okay. Thank you. No, that was excellent. Congratulations. I'm going to now tell you what, as far as I've managed to sort of figure out through all the last so many years, the first thing you've got to look for is that the person, the devotee, is really seriously and sincerely and in a certain sense of the term exclusively dedicated to Srila Prabhupada. Because there are people, you know, in other denominations or whatever you'd call them, and what to speak with just other people in life, who have the types of qualities that you've mentioned, all of them, pretty much. And they're all excellent qualities. But there has to be a foundation. And Prabhupada has to be in the foundation. Because otherwise, if you start mixing others in with Prabhupada, you get some sort of hybrid situation, you know, mixed situation. And usually, to be frank, usually, if not even always, but at least usually, it leads people further away from Prabhupada and Krishna consciousness as Prabhupada taught it. Yeah. That might sound a bit dogmatic. And if you feel like that, then I say, good, let's be a little dogmatic about this, meaning fixed. I don't want to get into a debate now, but this is my point here. I will now, before going into the bad association side of things, I want to tell you a little story about Jayananda. Jayananda, you heard of Jayananda? Famous devotee. Passed away just before Prabhupada left this world. He was really famous. You know, I was here in Bhaktivedanta Manor in those days, and devotees would come from America sometimes, and they'd tell us about Jayananda. Yeah. And I remember Tamal Krishna Goswami came once, and he was telling us about Jayananda. And he was saying, this Jayananda, he should be a sannyasi, but, you know, he's so humble. He doesn't want to be, and, you know, like this. But he's just an amazing devotee. So I never met him, but even in those days, before he became sort of like a legendary figure, he was already famous. So there's a nice little story here. This is when he was in the final stages, leukemia, blood cancer. And he was in a hospital because he was to a large degree incapacitated and needed sort of specialized care. And one devotee went to visit him in the hospital, walked into the room, and he wasn't there. And the devotee wondered, you know, what happened? How did he go? Because he can't really, it's very difficult for him to walk. What happened? Or maybe he's gone for, they took him for some tests or something. But so the devotee sat down and he noticed on the bed was everything very nicely folded and very tidy. And on the pillow was a photo, a framed photo of Prabhupada on the pillow. And the devotee's trying to figure out what could be going on. Then he saw on the other side of the bed, on the floor, was Jayananda. On the floor. On like a single cloth on the actual floor. And he was a bit shocked. That the devotee thought maybe he fell out of the bed or something like that. So he went and asked him, you know, what's going on? Why aren't you on the bed? You should be on the bed. Why are you here on the floor? And Jayananda said, you know, since I've been a devotee all these years, I've never had such a nice bed as this. And I thought, this bed is just so nice, I've got to offer it to Srila Prabhupada. So therefore, you know, he's there and I'm on the floor. Jayananda was really a very, very special person. Okay. Now, actually, there's a lot more we could say about getting and giving good association. But time, the time factor being what it is, let us move on to getting, first of all, getting and giving. Getting and giving bad association. And what, we've only got like 30-odd minutes. So let's just touch on it. Well, how about this? Let's just take a few minutes to consider some examples of people from Shastra who were good, but they got bad association and they became severely affected by it. Here's one.
Kaikeyi,
okay, yeah, she got the association of Mantara, was it?
Yes.
You know that story? Hopefully you do. Yes.
Ajamil,
of course, classic case from the sixth canto. Paka Brahmin devotee, bad association, fell down to just be a sort of living disaster. Mataji. Oh, Karuna. Yeah, maybe. I wouldn't say it's quite as clear, but okay, it's possible. Bhakti Rasa Puma.
I heard that Bhishma Dev.
Yeah.
He lost his discrimination. He wasn't able to give advice in the gambling house and so on because he was living under the shadow of the Kauravas.
Thank you.
He was taking their prasad.
That's right. That's a very good example. Because, just a sec, Duryodhana, who was the chief of those people he was living, he was like dependent on, Duryodhana was a bit of a cook, and he used to cook himself. You know, he's royalty, he's got plenty of people to cook for him, but it was like his hobby. He cooked, and Bhishma would eat his food. And as a result, Bhishma's thinking became corrupted. And therefore, he took the side against Krishna, against the Pandavas, who for many years he had been dedicated to protecting and caring for. So you've got to be careful about what you eat. I mean, in the sense of who has prepared it. Because some of the person goes into what they cook. And back in the good old days, in Seven Berry Place in 1973, we would only eat food which had been cooked by second initiated devotees and offered to Radha Landa Mishra on the altar. Yeah. specifically because of that principle. Yeah. The food should be cooked by the best devotees, basically, because it has such an effect.
I heard something, I can't remember which monkey it was, but was it Dravida Gorilla?
Dravida, yeah.
He was originally a part of Lord Ram's army of monkeys and bears, and then he was still hanging around, and he had bad association, and then he became Dravida Gorilla and, you know, attacked Krishna.
Dravida is in Ramayana. He fought on behalf of Ram. And there are the prayers of Dravida, actually. They're very beautiful prayers. But he got the association of Banasura. Yeah, and he became a demon, like a first-class demon. Here's a few. Any other offerings? Yeah?
Devamangata.
Well, you know, he got bad association or good association?
Well, he was. Well, he took out his eyes, no? So then...
Okay. Maybe. But let me just... I'll give a few here so we can move on. Let's see. Narakasura. What about Narakasura? He is the son of Lord Varaha and Bhumi. And he became a demon by the association of Banasura. Banasura is a little influential demon. Aristasura. Aristasura. You know, we do this course on the demons in Krishna's Vrindavan Leela. In his previous life, he was a devotee. But he got cursed. He was sitting, you know what he was doing? He was sitting on the ground with his feet sticking out. And he got cursed. You sit like a bull, become a bull. And he was born as a bull, but a nice bull, in East Bengal. And he got the association of some demoniac bulls. And he became Aristasura. This is what they say. Here, let's see, now, what now? There's one. Oh yeah, okay, here you go. Three of the sons of Advaita Acharya. He had six sons. Three were devotees and became great devotees, particularly Achyutananda. Three became Mayavadis. And Prabhupada, I think, gives the names of the three who were devotees and the three who weren't. And one of the sons who became a Mayavadi, his name was Balaram. And how many of you have been to his place at Shantipur? Yeah. I was there. I've been there many times, but one time maybe 25 years ago or perhaps more, when one of the previous heads was living, we went there and I was speaking to him and I asked him, so, because their family runs the place, it's a hereditary situation. So I asked him, which of Advaita Acharya's sons are you descended from? Take a guess which one.
Balaram.
Yeah. The branch that became Mayavadis. And they became offenders to Lord Chaitanya because they insisted that Advaita Acharya was senior. In a certain sense, he was, by just in terms of age, but obviously spiritually not. Anyway, that's next time you go to Shantipur, just bear that in mind. It's an interesting point. And then, okay, even closer to home, how about Srila Prabhupada? He had four or five. And a couple of them were nice enough, sort of, Hindus come devotees. But at least one became a demon. He became a demon. What was his name? anyway, whatever his name was, he was one of them. And he tried, after Prabhupada left this world, he tried to claim ownership of ISKCON, the whole of ISKCON, and the whole of the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust. And there was a big court case for years. I don't think it's still going.
They're doing something again.
Is it? Oh. Anyway, they had to pay him quite a lot of money. I don't know how much, but... So, and he met one of the devotees once. And he said, you know, you, your father, this is an American devotee, your father was like Hiranyakashipu, meaning just a materialistic American, but you are like Prahlad. My father was like, I think, King Nabi, and I'm like Vena. If you're familiar with Srimad Bhagavatam enough. I think it's Nabi. Vena is the son of Nabi, is it?
Yeah.
Something like that. Anyway, whoever's the father of Vena was a great devotee, actually. But then the son, Vena, was a real demon, a classic. And the son told the devotee that my father, Prabhupada, was like whoever that great devotee is, and I'm like Vena. Okay. I think I want to tell you a story now. Okay, let's talk about bad association. You know, we do the seminar, the demons in Krishna's Vrindavan Leela, and the anathas they represent. Kaliya, the Kaliya serpent, represents the anatha of poisoning the hearts of devotees with poisonous talk, not literally. So, yeah, poisoning the hearts of devotees. And this is bad. This is, you know, one of the worst types of... I mean, this is almost the essence of bad association. People who talk bad about other devotees. So, Kaliya... yes... So you may meet a devotee sometime. You know, we do sometimes around the periphery of the association of the community of devotees. You get some sort of negatively minded people. It's not that unusual. In that marginal area. Now you've got the serious devotees in the center. Then those are kind of marginal. Means they're not really sort of focused and fixed. They're marginal, and then you get the non-devotees. So amongst the marginal types, you may meet one such marginal devotee, and he may say something to you like, you know the temple president, right? Yes. He's a really nice devotee. Yes. But. Note the but. But he's like this and like that. And he does many good things, but. And he's like something else. And you may stand there and just, because you heard the initial thing was, he's a nice devotee. And your heart opens up a little. Then out comes the poison, a Kaliya poison. And it goes into your heart. And it affects your heart. How do you know your heart has been affected? Well, at least one very prominent way is the next time you see the temple president, you think it just comes to you just like that. There he is. That bad devotee. You know, previously you weren't thinking like that. But now you may not have even noticed it happening. But actually your heart has become poison. And you spontaneously have negative attitudes towards the particular person. So this is bad. This is really bad, actually. And in fact, it's so bad that, you know, Kali, if you know the story of Kaliya, you would know that Krishna did not kill Kaliya. There are all the various 20 or so demons that Krishna encountered in the Bhagavatam, in the Vrindavan section, 20-something. Generally, Krishna killed them, but not all. And Kaliya was one of the ones Krishna didn't kill. He was in the process, but Kaliya surrendered to him. And Kaliya became a devotee. Very good. But what did Krishna do? Krishna kicked him out of Vrindavan. Get out. Go away. So if we become influenced by such talk and we become, you know, we start spreading such ideas, giving bad association, having got bad association, who knows? Maybe you'll become corrected after a while, but maybe you'll be sort of exiled. And it may not necessarily be an exiled in the deliberate sense, like get out, go somewhere else. But you may be effectively exiled by, for example, in your work, if you're a working person, you may suddenly be called into the office, hey, you've got to open a new branch up in, what's up the top there somewhere? Inverness. No, is it?
John
O'Groats. It's up the top, yeah?
Yeah.
We're opening an office in John O'Groats. You've got to go there. And the nearest devotee is like 500 miles away. So you've effectively been exiled. These things can happen. So bear this in mind. Bear this in mind. So we should not get bad association, and we shouldn't give bad association. Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Well, let me just tell you an interesting point. We've got 20 minutes, right? You know, in the story of Bharat Maharaj, you're familiar with that. Are you familiar with that? Bharat, he became a deer. Okay, anyway. He became a deer because he became attached to a deer. Although he'd been a very good devotee, but he became obsessed with a deer, and he became a deer in his next life. So the Bhagavatam doesn't exactly say how his consciousness, you know, he was on an advanced level of Krishna consciousness. How does such a person become bewildered by a deer? So Bhagavatam doesn't exactly directly address that point. But Jiva Goswami in Bhakti Sandarbha, explains that he says it must have been an offense, a Vaishnava aparad, from before. Because he gives very interesting explanation. Bharat Maharaj had been on the level of bhava, means the beginning of perfection. The beginning of perfection. No longer just practicing and working on it, but he's actually is essentially perfect and developing his perfection. When you're on that level, all the reactions to your previous sinful activities, or just previous material activities, they've already been extinguished. They don't exist any longer. All that could exist in the negative sense is the effects of offences, because they're kind of spiritual in a certain sense of the term. So when a person's that advanced, any difficulties which come to them cannot be because of their previous sinful activities or previous material activities, can only be because of wrong things in their spiritual activities. And this is how Jiva Goswami analyzes the fall down of Bharat Maharaj. It can only have been because of offenses. Previously, we don't know what they were, when they were, but they must have been. Now, so we should not, in terms of now giving bad association, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that we should not criticize devotees for the following four types of apparent faults that the devotee may have. One is the last traces of previous sinful activity. Sort of like, it's like a hangover type of effect. The last traces. What could that be? Here's an interesting example. Think about this one. Now, you get devotees from Western backgrounds, and they may still use, like, hippie jargon or Western jargon, you know, youth jargon. This is cool, that is far out, and something, whatever it is. And, you know, it's the last traces of a previous way of life. So they shouldn't be criticized for that. Then, people should not be criticized for their birth. If they're criticized for their birth, it's blasphemy, it's an offense. They shouldn't be criticized if there's some accidental fault, even accidental deviation to some degree, or just momentary lapse. They shouldn't be criticized for that. And they shouldn't be criticized for their sinful activities prior to becoming Krishna conscious. These are some interesting little points. Now, what did I want to do? Let's see, what do I want to do? I'm sure I wanted to do something. I want to tell you a story. Well, you know, offenses against devotees, they're sometimes compared to, in fact, Lord Chaitanya, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, says they can be considered like mad elephants. Here in Newcastle, Baldersdale, you probably don't have so much association with elephants. In South Africa, where I'm based, we have elephants, serious elephants. If you come down, don't expect to see them walking in the streets, but so mad elephant. And an elephant, elephants are very big and sort of clumsy, and they can destroy anything pretty quickly. To illustrate this point about mad elephant offense, we'll tell you one little story. Previously on Padyatra in India, going back into the 80s, they had an elephant. That elephant walked all around India with the Padyatra party. That elephant liked to lead the party, didn't like it if anyone walked in front of her. Yeah. If anyone walked in front of her, she in the party, she'd flick them with her trunk. Get back. Then they would get back. So one time, they're moving around South India somewhere. They pass through some very nice village. Many devotees. They had a big program at night. Next morning they moved on. Whole lot of villagers came with kirtan as they're leaving the village. And one elderly devotee was just, he was in ecstasy, dancing and chanting. And he went in front of the elephant. And the elephant flicked him with her trunk. And he went back. Then, in ecstasy again, he went in front again. She flicked him again. He went back. Then, devotees, fasten your seatbelts. Third time he came in front. She just grabbed him, lifted him up, threw him on the road, and trod on him. Goloka Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. And he died right then and there under the lotus foot of the devotee elephant. So watch out for mad elephants. Even if they're not so mad, watch out for them. One devotee, sannyasi, actually went to see our two elephants at Mayapur, thinking, you know, they're like pets. And you pat them, say nice things to them and all that. So he was trying to pat the elephant, and the elephant flicked him with a trunk and fractured his arm. Because they're wild animals. They're wild animals. Okay, now a story. Here we go. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antyalila, there's the story of one devotee, is it Antyalila? I think it is, named Ramachandrapuri. Many of you would have heard that story before. Let me just briefly tell it. Ramachandrapuri was a disciple of Madhavendra Puri. I mean, it's a bit of a long story, we'll abbreviate it. They're both Puris. We don't want to take too many Puris. But Madhavendra Puri is the guru. He was two generations before Lord Chaitanya. His main disciple was Ishvara Puri, who was the guru of Lord Chaitanya. And Ramachandra Puri was another disciple of Madhavendra Puri, like a god-brother of Ishvara Puri, who was the guru of Lord Chaitanya. So this Ramachandra Puri, he was basically a devotee. He was actually a sannyasi, a renunciate, kind of fairly knowledgeable fellow. But his consciousness was polluted by certain attitudes of pride, and particularly pride, that I'm big devotee, important devotee. And when Madhavendra Puri was in the process of leaving this world over a period of some weeks, Ramachandra Puri went to pay his last respects. And Madhavendra Puri, he's in the process of dying. He was lamenting that, you know, I failed to achieve the goal of life. Actually, he had achieved the goal of life. But in his humility, he was expressing himself like that and crying. And Ramachandra Puri thought, yeah, you know, I should serve my guru at this crucial time. What service shall I do? I know, I'll give him some good advice. And so he told him, listen, why are you lamenting like this? Emotional. At this time, you have to fix your mind on Brahman. Means the impersonal Brahma Jyoti, and Madhavendra Puri got so upset and told him, you get out. If I see you at the time that I leave my body, I don't know where I'll go. So he went away, Ramachandra Puri went away, not thinking that, oh, I got chastised by my guru, I must learn something from this. But he went away thinking, well, why did he chastise me? I gave him good advice. Yeah, come on, guru, you've got to be a better guru than that. Be a good guru. As a result, his consciousness, already not good, became worse. And he developed impersonal tendencies more, and his proud critical tendencies developed more. To the point where, well, after the departure of Madhavendra Puri, Ramachandra Puri decided that, well, he thought, what service should I do? I know. I will help the junior devotees by pointing out their faults so they can improve themselves. In a sense, it sounds good, but the way he did it was not so good. And so that was what he was doing all day, every day, just criticizing. What's wrong with you? Like, why are you yawning? Don't yawn. Where's your tilak? Come on. Ah, it's terrible. And you're not sitting properly. You know what Prabhupada says? Sit properly. And you've got such good tilak. You tried to show off. You're a big devotee. Caught you out. So whatever you did, it was always wrong. Either you're too Krishna conscious or not Krishna conscious enough, or something like that. Yeah. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati says, he achieved nishta, steadiness in criticism. Yeah. And it's a bit of a long story, but he went to Jagannath Puri to check out Lord Chaitanya, because he knew Lord Chaitanya is a disciple of my godbrother, Ishwara Puri. I'm going to check him out. Let's see what sort of devotee he really is. So again, like I said, it's a bit of a long story, but he rolled up. And he, just at lunchtime, visited Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya invited him, please, we'll serve you first. No, 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 I just came for the association. He sat down and watched Lord Chaitanya. Now, have you ever had people watch you? Really watch you? He was watching. He had his notebook out. One chapati. Two chapati. Three chapatis. He was noting, very, very carefully what Lord Chaitanya was eating. And as a result, Lord Chaitanya, and he criticized him for apparently eating too much. Lord Chaitanya cut his eating in half and started losing weight. A couple of weeks later, Ramachandra Puri came and saw Lord Chaitanya had lost some weight. And said, look at you. You've lost weight. Artificial renunciation is not the way for sannyasis. So you couldn't win with Ramachandra Puri. And all the devotees were really upset with him. Eventually he left Jagannath Puri. And the devotees were so happy, they had a festival. You don't want to become that sort of devotee. But when you go, all the devotees are like, hurry, that's right. If you become that sort of devotee, you got a real problem. But he was that sort of devotee. Okay, there was a couple of other things. But don't think too badly about him, because He is a special person. I mean, that program of activity we should be extremely careful to avoid, but we shouldn't think negatively about Ramachandrapuri himself, because he is a special person in Krishna Leela who descended to participate in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. He is Jatila, Radharani's mother-in-law. And we won't get into Jatila Leela at this point, maybe next time. But if you know who Jatila is, you would understand. So what to do if we hear blasphemy, criticism? In other words, if we get bad association of that sort. Here's a verse from the Bhagavatam. This is Srimad Bhagavatam 4:17. 4:17. It is Sati speaking. If one hears an irresponsible person blaspheme, well, she's talking about Lord Shiva, but blaspheme a devotee, one should block his ears and go away if unable to punish the blasphemer. But if one is able, one should kill the blasphemer. Holy ball. If one cannot kill him, one should by force cut out his tongue and then kill him. And after that, give up your own life. Holy ball. There you go. That's the program, okay? But it's just in principle, the point is, it's really bad. Like Kaliya, it's poison. It's poison for the heart. Okay, I'm going to close now by telling one funny little story. I don't know if you're familiar with the story. I like the story. It's connected with bad association. There was one cranky pundit. He's very knowledgeable, and he was a very good speaker, but he was very cranky, you know, really sort of irritable. And he would get, and so one village, the village elders invited him, please come to the village and address the village, give a talk. And the cranky pundit said, oh, I don't know, you know, I don't really want to. And they begged him, and he said, oh, all right then. So he came. Now he's sitting there. There's the village. Everyone's assembled. So, you know what I'm going to talk about? You know? Do you know? Do you know? Do you know what I'm going to talk about? And everyone's a bit shocked. No, we don't know. You what? You don't know? You don't know? Then I'm not going to tell you. And he walked out. Wow. A couple of weeks later, the village elders decided to give it another try. So they went and asked him again. Oh, I don't want to. I had a bad experience there. Please come. Oh, all right. So he came. So, you know what I'm going to talk about? You know? They were ready now. You know what I'm going to talk about? You know?
Yes,
we know. Oh, you know? Then I don't have to tell you. And he walked out. A couple of weeks later, the elders went and visited him again. Please, we're so sorry. Give us another chance. Oh, all right then. This time they were just really ready in the village. So, you know what I'm going to talk about? Do you know? You know? Half of the village said, yes, we know. The other half said, no, we don't know. And the pundit said, all right. Those who know can tell those who don't know, and I'm going. It is just a funny little story. Bad association. Okay, I mean, there's a lot more we can say, but I think we need to finish now. Srila Prabhupada ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. More Premanandi. More Premanandi.
His Holiness Bhakti Chaitanya Swami ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki. So, I'd like to, you're going to continue sitting here, right, Maharaj? I'd like you to continue. I was going to request Dayananda Swami to also come to the front and sit next to you, if that's okay.